السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أي عباد الله، الشريعة الإسلامية إنما جاءت لطهارة الإنسان من أدران لم يخلق عليها ولا لها، فهي أعني شريعة الإسلام الشريفة تأمر الفرد ذكرا كان أو أنثى بأن يطهر الكل باطنه من الأدران العقدية كما يطهر ظاهره من الأدران الحسية. فلذلك فقد أمرت الشريعة بالطهارة بالماء، وعند فقد الماء أمره الشارع أن يستعيذ بالحجارة والصعيد الطاهر. وقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف تكون الطهارة، كما بين الأخطاء التي يقع فيها كثير من الناس، ونحن لا نوضح الكيفية الصحيحة للطهارة والأخطاء الحادثة فيها. أولا، نهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسلم أن يصلي المسلم وهو يدافعه الأخبثان البول والغائط، لأن ذلك يفضي إلى عدم الخشوع، وربما خرج منه شيء يلوث ثيابه والمكان الذي يصلي فيه، فأمره أن ينصرف لقضاء حاجته، وذلك من رحمة الإسلام بأهله. ثانيا أمره إن وأت الغائط أن يقدم عند دخول رجله اليسرى قائلا: اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث، مستترا عن أعين الناس منتهيا عن الكلام في تلكم الأثناء. ثالثا أمره أن لا يستقبل الغائط إلا أن يكون فيما يعرف اليوم بدورات المياه، وأمره أن يحتاط من ارتداد البول إليه، وأمره عند قضاء الحاجة أن يغسل موضعه من جسده مستخدما يده اليمنى لصب الماء واليسرى في غسل الموضع، ولا يكتفى بصب الماء على الموضع بل لا بد من غسله. وأمره عند فقد الماء أن يستجمر، ونهاه أن يستجمر بعظم أو روث أو شيء محترم. وأمره أن يقول: إذا خرج غفرانك، وذلك لما كان فيه من عدم القدرة على الذكر لكونه في مكان القاذورات. ومن هنا نعلم خطأ من يضعون منبهات جوالاتهم نغمات فيها شيء من ذكر الله. وأمره أن يقول قبل الوضوء: بسم الله، وإن هو فرغ من وضوئه قال: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. وليس شيء غير ذلك يقال، لا قبل ولا أثناء ولا بعد الوضوء. وأما ما يقوله بعض العامة: قبل الوضوء نويت الوضوء لله تعالى، وكذا أثناء الوضوء يقول بعضهم عند غسل وجهه: اللهم بيض وجوهنا، وعند غسل يدي اليمنى: اللهم سلمني كتابي بيميني، وعند غسل اليسرى بعضهم: اللهم لا تجعلني من أصحاب الشمال، وعند غسل الرجل قالوا: اللهم ثبت أقدامنا على الصراط. ولا شك أن كل ذلك خطأ وبدعة يأثم عليها الإنسان، لأنه أتى في العبادة بما لم يأت به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. تاسعا حثه الشارع الحكيم على الاستياك قبل الوضوء. عاشرا أمره أن يسبغ الوضوء ولا يترك عضوا أو جزءا منه دون أن يمسه الماء، وأمره أن لا يسرف في استخدام الماء عند الوضوء، لا في عدد مرات غسل الأعضاء ولا في كمية ما يستخدمه من الماء، فقد كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ بالمد وهو ملء الكفين ماء، وقد كان بعض السلف إذا توضأ لا تكاد الأرض تبتل في موضع وضوئه. ثاني عشر أباح له تجفيف مواضع الوضوء مع بيان أن الأفضل تركها حتى تجف بذاتها. وأباح للرجل أن يتوضأ بفضل وضوء المرأة، وللمرأة أن تتوضأ بفضل وضوء الرجل، وأباح لهما أن يغترفا معا من إناء واحد. رابع عشر وكره له إن يمس فرجه بدون حائل كثوب أو قفاز. خامس عشر وبين له أن خروج شيء من أحد السبيلين من بول أو مذي أو غائط أو ريح ينقض الوضوء. سادس عشر وبين له أن النوم المستغرق الذي لا يشعر معه بشيء مما يدور حوله ناقض من نواقض الوضوء. وبين له أن أكل لحم الإبل ينقض الوضوء. وبين له أنه عند فقد الماء أو قلته أو تعذر استعماله أن يتيمم، وذلك بضرب كلتا يديه معا ضربة واحدة على صعيد طائر، ثم يمسح بباطن اليمنى ظاهر اليسرى وباطن اليسرى ظاهر اليمنى، ثم يمسح بهما معا وجهه، وبذلك تكون قد تمت طهارته، غير أنه عليه أن يجد أن يجدد التيمم لكل صلاة عند دخول وقتها ولو بقي على طهارته. 19 وبين له أنه يمكن له أن يمسح على خفيه وجوربيه ونعليه إن كان قد لبسهما على طهارة ولم يخلعهما بعد فقد الطهارة. وأن مدة ذلك للمقيم يوم وليلة وللمسافر 3 أيام بلياليهن منذ أول مسح. وبين له أن المسح يكون على الخفين على ظاهر القدم لا على باطنها مرة واحدة بكلتا يدي على القدمين معا في آن واحد اليمنى على اليمنى واليسرى على اليسرى من أطراف أصابع قدمه حتى يبلغ بها انحناء القدم أو التقائها مع الساق. 22 وبين له أنه يمكن له أن يمسح على الجبيرة ولو لم توضع على طهارة لتعذر ذلك. 23 وبين له أنه إذا مسح على شيء صلى فيه ولا بد فإن نزعه لم تصح صلاته بدونه ولو كان على طهر حتى يلبسه 8 قبل أن ينتقل وضوءه 24 وبين له أن مس المرأة محرما كانت أو غير محرم بشهوة أو بغير شهوة لا ينقض الوضوء مطلقا مع تحريم مس امرأة غير ذات محرم له. ألا يعلم أنه متى وجد حائل يمنع وصول الماء إلى البشرة والشعر والظفر لم يجزئ ذلك الوضوء حتى يزال الحائل سواء كان الحائل دهنا كزيت أو صبغ أو غيره أو كان طلاء أو عجينا. فاتقوا الله عباد الله يحب من أوليائه أن يكونوا على علم به وبما أنزله من وحيه على نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الخبير العليم والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على نبيه الكريم نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد عباد الله فاتقوا الله واعبدوه كما أمركم واعلموا أن ما تقدم مما بيناه إنما هو جزء من أمور الطهارة يعرف عند الفقهاء بالحدث الأصغر وهناك ما يعرف عندهم بالحدث الأكبر ولا يكفي معه الوضوء وحده بل لا بد من الغسل وذلك من أمور هي وطء فرج مشتهى شرعا سواء كان مباحا كزوجة أو أمة مملوكة بواطئها غير ذات زوج أو كان الوطء في فرج غير مباح وهو الزنا والزنا كبيرة من كبائر الذنوب. 2 التقاء الختانين سواء أولج العضو كله أو بعضه وسواء أنزل أو لم ينزل إن كان قد تغيبت حشفة ذكري في فرج امرأته. 3 إنزال المني بشهوة بأي وسيلة كان ذلك بالنظر والتفكر أو الملامسة أو الاستمناء أو الاحتلام إلا أن يكون من مرض لا يجد معه في الإنزال شهوة وذلك بحق الرجال والنساء على السواء. 4 يجب الغسل أيضا من خروج دم الحيض أو النفاس بالنسبة للمرأة عند طهرها وقبل صلاتها. 5 إن استمر بها الدم فهي عندئذ مستحاضة تتوضأ لكل صلاة عند دخول وقتها. 6 إن نزل الدم في غير وقته المعتاد وكانت صفاته لا تشبه صفات دم الحيض فهو عرق انبتر أسفل الرحم فليس عليه شيء غير الاستثمام نزوله على ثيابها ثم الوضوء لكل صلاة كالمستحاضة. واعلموا عباد الله أن صفة الغسل من الجنابة هي أن يغسل أولا فرجه ثم يتوضأ وضوءه للصلاة، ثم يحصل الماء على كتفه الأيمن ثلاثا، ثم على الأيسر ثلاثا، ثم يفيض الماء على رأسي وسائر بدني في غير ما إسراف في الماء. وإن انغمس في ماء كثير كنهر أو بحر أو واد أو جدول أو دركة، أو صب على جسده الماء كله الماء من غير ما وضوء، بشرط أن تكون نية رفع الحدث الأكبر سابقة لذلك وصاحب ذلك مضمضة واستنشاق، فقد تم الطهارة من الحدث الأكبر، وصح له أن يصلي بهذا الغسل، وذلك سواء أكان من جنابة أو من حيض أو نفاس الامرأة. فإن كان بالإنسان حدث أكبر ولم يجد الماء أو لم يقدر على استعماله، تيمم كتيممه من الوضوء الذي سبق وصفه، وبذلك تكون قد تمت طهارته. فاللهم طهر قلوبنا وأبداننا وأموالنا وأعراضنا من كل ما يسوءنا في ديننا في دنيانا وأخرانا. ألا وصلوا عباد الله على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه بأمر الله تعالى، إذ يقول سبحانه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. فاللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم على نبينا وحبيبنا وسيدنا محمد صاحب الحوض والشفاعة، الآمر بنهج السنة والجماعة، من مننت عليه باللواء المعقود والحوض. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
اللهم أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة، اللهم أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه. ما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله. And we are still continuing the series of the mistakes of Muslims, and today we are with mistakes in purification. After the khutbah al-haja, I began the khutbah saying, O slaves of Allah, verily the law of Islam came to purify mankind from all the dirts that which he was not created for or upon. So it is, meaning the law of Islam, the individual, whether man or woman, to purify his inner part by the belief, by purifying the belief from all the forms of disbelief and association, as well as to purify the outer parts of the body from all the dirts, as the Sharia commanded then both man and woman to purify themselves with water, and whenever water is missed or it is not possible to use water, then they use stones and soil for purification of themselves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the ummah how to perform the purification, and he showed them the mistakes that they might commit while performing this kind of purification. And today we are going to explain and clarify the way of how to perform the purification, and also we're going to present some of the mistakes that the Muslims commit whenever they perform their purification. First, the Prophet ﷺ forbids for the ummah, forbids for the individual to pray while struggling against urine or stool, because that might make him lose the khushu', the concentration, and maybe some of it, meaning the urine or stool, may be discharged while praying, and by that cause his clothes and the place where he is praying in to be dirty. So the Prophet ﷺ commanded the individual to leave his prayer and go for rest, and that is from the forms of mercy of Islam. Second, he, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, commanded the individual, whoever comes to the place where he is going to discharge urine or stool, to enter that place with his left foot, saying, O Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the khubth and khaba'ith. The word khubth and khaba'ith has given many different explanations. As for some of the ulama said that the khubth, it could be pronounced khubth, or if it is pronounced khubth, then it means the male jinn, the male jinn. And khaba'ith, then it means the female of jinn. And when it is pronounced khabath, it means the dirt, meaning the stool and urine, not to dirty me, to call and clothes be dirty. And khaba'ith is the jinn, then general, whether men, male or female. And he commanded them to cover himself in this state from the eyes of people, not to do that in open or to be seen. And also forbid for him to speak in this kind, in this type of situation. Third is that the Prophet ﷺ commanded the one who is going past urine or stool not to face or back the Kaaba, the Qibla, the direction of the Qibla, except if he is doing that in a building, not in an open place, and which is known today by the toilets. Fourth is that Isa commanded the individual to take all protections not to cause the reflection of urine to come on his clothes or body. And whenever it happens, he needs to clean it immediately. And fifth is that he commanded the individual while right after finishing, passing or discharging the urine or stool, to clean the place, the part of the discharge with a urine or stool, using his right hand to pour water, not to touch the place with it, and left hand to touch the place and clean and wipe over it. And it is not enough only to pour water over the body part that is that had the shot. Sixth is that he ﷺ commanded the one who doesn't find water after passing urine or stool to use stones to clean the place. And this is especially for men, not for women. And both men and women can use other things like napkins, like papers. However, it should not contain anything respectful, like the names of Allah or something like that. Nor that he is allowed to use bones or dung, animal dung. As he said that the bones are going to be full of meat for the jinn, the Muslim jinn, and the dung is going to be a food for the animal of the Muslim jinn. So we are not allowed to dirty them by using them in purification. Seventh is that he commanded the one who used the toilet or the place where, or who had a discharge of urine or stool, whenever he finishes and he's going leaving the place, to come out of that place with right foot, saying Ghufranak. Ghufranak means, oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me for what? It is for the inability of remembrance during that situation, during that state. And from here we advise all the Muslims not to use any mobile alarms, whether it is alarm or ring for calls or for text messages which contains any remembrance of Allah. Like some people use the adhan to alert them for the time of prayers, or some of them use the adhan or takbir or hadith or ayah to be pronounced, or dua, as a way of alerting them for incoming calls or incoming messages, which is of course wrong and a mistake. So one need not to use that, as he might forget to, and then it rings in the toilet with this remembrance of Allah. Besides that, this is not from the sunnah to use these valuable wording as an alarm of or alerting for incoming messages or calls. Eighth is that he ﷺ commanded the person before performing wudu to say Bismillah, only Bismillah, And whenever he finishes his wudu, to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and nothing else other than that. Neither before wudu, nor during the wudu, nor after wudu. Nothing else other than these two rituals to be said. However, some of the amma, some of the common persons who have no knowledge, they say before wudu, nawaitu al wudu alillahi ta'ala. They say, nawaitu, I intend to perform wudu for the sake of Allah, which is wrong, of course. And some say during wudu, while they are washing their faces, oh Allah, whiten our faces. And while washing their right hands, they say, oh Allah, give us our books with right hands. And while washing the left hand, they say, oh Allah, do not make us from the people who take their books by left hand. And some of them say, while washing their feet, oh Allah, sober our feet on the sirat. Which all are wrong, and it is bid'ah, innovation. Because this could have been said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there is no any dalil, no any evidence that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, nor any of the sahaba. So saying it is a kind of innovation which is a sin. Why? Simply because you are saying, I have found something better than what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. And that is of course wrong. That is of course wrong. No one can know about Islam from all mankind more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should do anything of worship except with what he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, whether saying or action. The ninth is that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the ummah to use the siwak, the toothstick, before wudu. And the tenth is that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the ummah to perform wudu perfectly. And this means that you do not leave any part of wudu, or some, or any part of the part of wudu not being washed. As he sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man had his foot washed except for a small place. It's like a coin, like a piece of coin. And then he said to Allah, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe for the aqab, meaning the back side of the foot. All the aqab means the places which are not washed from the fire. So it is a kind of dangerous warning. And 11th is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the one who is performing wudu not to use so much water while performing wudu. But too many people today waste water. They waste water. They waste the water, saying that they are performing wudu. And they are in sin, not in hasana. So you do not exceed the limit that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam limited. No, in the number of times of washing, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his part once perfectly, and another occasion two times perfectly, and another occasion three times perfectly. So maximum is three and minimum is one. But to be perfect, washing more than that, it's a kind of exceeding the limits. You must not do it for. You must not wipe your head more than once. And nor that you use more water than what's supposed to be used. And using water, the amount of water depends on the quality of the dirt on the body. Sometimes some dirt needs some water to be, but normally, why do you use so much water? This week I saw a man, he looks mashallah practicing, and he kept washing his foot, wallahi, for more than 1 minute.
just driving, going, coming, going, coming, going, coming. This is not good. This is not good. You cannot be pure, more clean than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot be. So we have to be careful of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform whole wudu with something called in Arabic mud. And mud is the amount of water that can be taken by both hands like this. When you join two hands together and bend the fingers to upside, then this amount of water, which might be one or two cups, that's it. He performed wudu with that. And wallahi, we tried that. We tried that. Sometimes in the haram, you cannot go out. Maybe now because there are some faucets in the haram, in Mecca. But before, there were no faucets in the haram. So you will have to go, and there were no toilets nearby the haram when they used to do the new constructions. So the nearest toilets were in the tunnel going to Kubay. So it's difficult for us then to leave the haram and go and come back, then you cannot enter. What did we used to do? Wallahi, with the plastic cups of Zamzam in the haram, one of us do the whole wudu with 1.5 cup. 1.5 cup. And it was more than enough. And in the winter, one time we were there in the winter, it was very cold. No one wished to use more water than what's supposed to be in the sun. No one. So, yani, here we need to implement the sunnah. 12th is that it is permissible to dry up your wudu parts, body parts, but it is not preferable. It is permissible but not preferable. It is better to leave it until it dries. Until it dries. Until it dries itself. It seems catch flu, but alhamdulillah. Now, the 13th is that it is allowed for man to use the remaining water of wudu of a woman. Meaning a woman used the bucket to perform wudu. Some water remaining there. Her hands were there. Some people think that it is not permissible. No, it is permissible. So, remaining water of wudu of a man can be used by a woman. Whether now this woman, your wife, your mother, your sister, your neighbor, not yani known at all, is permissible. This has nothing to do with the water. Okay? As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform his ghusl of janaba together with Aisha from one bucket at a time. So it is permissible. 14th is that it is disliked for one of us, for especially men, after performing wudu to touch your private part directly without anybody, either clothes or gloves. You cannot touch it directly like that, otherwise you break your wudu. You break your wudu. The opinion of some of the scholars. And 15th is that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that the expulse of anything out of the two discharge places of man and woman could be an invalidator of wudu, whether it is urine or the lubricating liquid. The lubricating liquid, the colorless liquid that comes out of desire, or the stool, or wind. Wind for both men and women from the backside. Woman, wind comes from the front side, it does not invalidate wudu. Because sometimes the wall absorbs some air, and then it discharges or releases. This air that comes from the womb does not invalidate wudu of the woman. Nor that the other liquids that comes from the front side of a woman. These liquids are not considered to be impure. So these liquids, the discharge of them is uncontrollable, first of all. So these liquids do not invalidate wudu of the woman. Except for the, as we said, the semen, lubricating liquid, these are or urine or blood for women. Now, 16 is that the from the invalidators of wudu is the deep sleeping. When the person sleeps to limits that he doesn't know what's happening around him, or if there are two people talking, he does not hear anything that time, even if it is for a fraction of a minute, then this is considered to be an invalidator of wudu, except if he is sleeping while sitting, as Imam Shafi'i does not invalidate the wudu, because when you are on sitting position, you are blocking the discharge place. Whatsoever air will pass, you will feel it. Now, 17th is that eating camel meat only, not the meat of anything else, but the camel meat, nor anything else from camel other than the meat. And the liver does not invalidate wudu. The milk does not invalidate wudu. The fat does not invalidate wudu. Right? Only the meat. Why? Because Rasulullah said that. أَكُلُ لَحْمِ الْجَزُوءِ أَكُلُ لَحْمِ الْجَزُوءِ. Right? 18. He saw Rasulullah clarified that when the individual does not find water for wudu, of course, or he does have some water only for him to drink as fresh water, or he cannot use water. There is a lot of water, blend of water, but he cannot use it. Maybe he is burnt or he has any kind of illness that he cannot use water. But medically it is proved that he cannot use water, alhamdulillah. Medically proved that he cannot use water, then what he does, he does the tayammum, something called tayammum. What is tayammum? Tayammum is to hit the surface of the ground by your both palms, extended fingers, one side. And then you wipe, you put the palm of the left hand over the back side of the right hand and wipe. Meaning, you put the palm like the cross, right? And you wipe. And then the right palm over the back side of the left hand. And wipe. And both of them with the same head, no other head, only one time head. You wipe over your face, that's it. That's it. And remember, some people seen hitting and wiping over the arms and head, and like we do. Remember, soil does not take nothing. If you use water to take dirt, soil does not take dirt. It's only a worship. Allah wants it like that, you have to do it like that. You cannot do ijtihad from your own self. You have to do what Allah Ta'ala told you through His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now, but you have also to know that this tayammum must be renewed every time you are going to pray, meaning for the entrance of the time of every prayer. If you did tayammum for dhuhr and you continue on tahara, on purification, you did not lose your wudu, until Asr come. You cannot pray Asr with that term. Some of the ulama said, whatever can be done of the prayers by wudu can be done by tahmam. But for yani safety of your ibadah, you do tahmam once again. And once you find water before the prayer, you have to perform wudu, even if you still have the tahara with you. The tahara that is built by tahmam, once the water is available, you will have to make wudu again. 19, is that he saw Salim clarify for one that he can wipe over the socks. The socks, the jawrab, the shoes. The shoes. Three of them, both. Four of them, you can wipe. Men and women, they all can wipe. With the condition that you have put them on in a state of purification, in a state of tahara. After performed complete wudu, perfect, now you put your socks or your shoes or your boat or your jawab, whatsoever it is, then whenever you lose your wudu, you will do the wudu and then wipe over the thing that you bought it. And that you have a permissibility of using that for the one who is in trouble, the traveler, 3 days and nights. And one who is citizen, who is not traveling, sorry, one who is resident, then 1 day and a night. Every 1 day and night means 5 times prayers after the first wiping. You put on your socks after Fajr, or going to Fajr, you put on your socks after performing wudu. They will come and you still have your wudu. You did not perform wudu. Khalas. Asr come, you did not need. So you still have your wudu that is performed in Fajr. But when Maghrib comes, you already lost your wudu. Now what do? You perform wudu and you wipe. Now from Maghrib you count 5 times prayers. Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr. Then the next Maghrib you will have to remove the socks and perform complete wudu. 21st, Isa Salam clarified that wiping over the socks would only be over the back of the feet, not the bottom, not the underneath the feet, but it's over the top side of the feet, right? And this would be by wetting your both hands one time, wetting, not taking water, it's only wetting it one time, and both of them, the right hand to be placed over the right foot, and the left hand over the left foot from the toes. You put the back, the where the wrist is, on the toes, and you wipe going up, just to where the foot and the shin meets. That's the. And it is for one time only. One time only. And you also can wipe over the bluster. If your arm is broken or your foot is broken and you have a bluster on it, whether this bluster was placed in state of purification or not, because when your hand is broken, you're not going to perform wudu. You cannot. You cannot. So if it is placed, khalas. Yani, and whether it remains 3 days or 3 months, it doesn't matter. You just wipe over it. You just wipe over it. But if the blaster is from the wrist to the what do you call this part? Huh? La la la. تعال لا ها biceps from the wrist to the biceps, then the hand must be washed. You do not say, oh, I wipe over the blister. No, the hands are not covered with the blister. So whatsoever part which is not covered, you have to clean it with water. You have to clean it with water. Now, 23rd, whatsoever you wipe on, you have to pray in. You do not wipe on something and take it off and pray. No. You cannot do that. You wipe over the shoes, not the socks. You wipe over the shoes, it's okay. You pray with the shoes. You pray with the shoes. Now, if you come to the masjid and you say, okay, it's difficult now to get in the masjid with the shoes, let me take off the shoes, or let me go back and just wipe over the socks and come back. You say, no, the whole wudu now will go. Because there is time break between. You cannot now just wipe over the socks after all the parts dried up. So you'll have to, we have something called muwala. Muwala means you have to do it one after another. You do not dry up or wait for any part to be dried up and then you do the cleanness of the next part. No, this is not acceptable. Now, the 20, and if you remove, if you wipe over the shoes and you removed it and you stayed on, yani, with your socks on, right? And at this time, you lost your wudu. You cannot now wipe no more. You will have to remove the socks and wash also the feet. Why? Because you lost the wudu, you are not wearing, or you do not have whatsoever you wiped on your shoes now. Say again. You wipe over your shoes, not the socks. Alright? And then you took off your shoes. In between the time you took off the shoes until you wanted to pray, you lost your wudu here. What are you going to do? You will have to remove the socks and make wudu. Why? Because the wipe wasn't over the socks. It was over the shoes which you have already took off. Clear? Subhanallah. Right, once again. Ahmed performed wudu. Complete wudu, right? And he put on his socks, then his shoes. In a minute, he had some air pass. Does he have wudu? No. He wants to pray. What should he do? Perform wudu, correct? Right. He went and performed wudu and wiped over the shoes. Yani his socks on, shoes on, right? But he wiped over the shoes. This is permissible. Yes, it is. Huh? No problem, because this lost wudu was before the wiping. Now he wiped over the shoes. Over the shoes. Now, he prayed to rak'ah duha, and then he took off his shoes and straight. Right? Now he lost his wudu. Again. Dhuhr time come, he wants to perform dhuhr. He wants to go and make wudu. He knows that he lost wudu. He put on his shoes and went to the washroom and performed wudu, and he wants to wipe over the shoes. Only shoes off. Only shoes off. While socks and shoes on. The wudu, yes. But the first wipe was when the socks and the shoes on, and he wiped over the shoes, right? But after that, he took off his shoes, and this time he lost his wudu. So he put on his shoes and went to the washroom to do the wudu again. Can he wipe over the shoes? Huh? Abdullah. Are you still confused?
No,
he can't? Why? No. We said he did not take his shoes off until he lost wudu. He lost wudu with the socks on, the shoes off. Right? Then he performed wudu, wiped over the shoes. Now after that, he lost wudu. So what he should do? Socks on. He has to perform full wudu. Why? Because the intention of wiping from the beginning was for the shoe, not for the socks. His intention for wiping from the beginning was for the shoes, not for the socks. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." Right? Let's change it now. He performed wudu, both socks on, shoes on, and in a minute he had some air passed. The wudu lost. He said, "Let me do another wudu." He did another wudu. The intention is to wipe over the socks, but he did not take the shoes off. Is this wiping correct? No, because it contradicts with the intention. The intention is the socks, but he wiped over the shoes. Right? So this is not correct. Now, I'm coming. We still have 23rd is that he ﷺ clarified that one can wipe over the, what we call the imamah. The imamah. And the ulama have different opinion for the imamah, the turban. Is it the turban or anything covers the head? Some of the ulama say it must be the turban. You know the turban. But the ghutra, which we, the Saudis, use, they say this is not imama. This is not imama. So wiping cannot be over this. But the kufi, the hat, they say yes, it can. They say it can. With two conditions. One is that he both do like the socks. The second that he has to wipe over part of the head or the forehead. Yani, like this. Right? They say it is permissible. But this normal ghutra, which we here in Saudi Arabia and the Gulf use, this is not considered to be imamah. So he cannot wipe over this. Because this is loose and it can be moved and removed and off, and not like the imama. The imama is tied around the head. Now.
Can you explain the style of the top? Because the way the imam is the same thing
top. Yeah, the style. I said the turban. It's the style. What is tied around the head? The style, not the cloth. Whatsoever cloth is, it's not the, what the Yemenis use, what the Sudanese use, what the Emiratis use, what the Pakistanis use. Many different nations use many different turbans or cloth. The prayer?
Yeah.
Yes, the same. Well, the Kufi has no special rule, but the Kufi is treated like the imama. Yeah. Yes, a little bit. Yeah. The 24th is that wiping is not only for men, but it's also for women. They all can wipe. The 25th is that touching the woman, whether this woman is a mahram or not mahram, a wife, mother, sister, or even a stranger woman, does not invalidate wudu. It does not invalidate wudu. Although touching a stranger woman, which is not a mahram, is haram. But it is not because it is haram, it invalidates the wudu. No. And another thing, smoking a cigarette does not invalidate wudu. Yesterday somebody called me asking, a man performed wudu and then he smoked cigarette. He's asking now, must he remake the wudu again or make the wudu again? The answer is no. But he is in sin because of smoking. And also he's in another sin because he's coming to the masjid with a bad mouth smell. But the wudu is different thing. The Sharia does not mix between things. So this is one. As you say, touching the woman, if she is not your mahram, then it is sin. But it does not invalidate the wudu up until, yani whether with desire or without desire. Somebody would say, oh, if it is with desire, no, even if it is with desire. Because the Prophet ﷺ performed wudu, kissed Aisha, and went to the prayer. When the man kisses his wife, he kisses her like his mother or like his daughter? No, of course. With a desire. Normally with a desire. But if nothing been the shark, no, neither semen nor the lubricating liquid, then the wudu is still there, valid. No problem. So, and lastly of the first part of the khutbah, I said, and all Muslims, we got to know that once the person has any burial of, or any preventer of water to touch the skin, finger, or hair directly, then the wudu is not correct. The wudu is not correct. Meaning, if you use oil, and the oil can be seen on your head, you cannot perform wudu with it. You have to wash it out with soap, with something. You have to wash it out. But some oils, once you put it, the hair absorbs it and dries. You don't see it. You see the hair like dry. Then this is okay. Paint. As a preventer of wudu, of water reaching the skin. And what do you call this? The finger? Huh? Nail polish. This also prevents water. And also, this is for women. And also another thing for women, the makeup. The makeup is not only a color. It has the fact that prevents the water reaching the skin or the lips. So all this must be removed before performing wudu. Why we say that? Because especially for ladies, when they are going to attend a party or somewhere, they always do the makeup, and then they may lose their wudu. And then they perform wudu over these things. And not to have them, they just threw water like that. Now this is not enough. She has to remove it all. She has to remove it all. Like when she is returning back home, cleaning it before she shows her husband. Because not to show him her beauty. Only for her female friends only. Some women do that. I've had some complaints from husbands. One man said that once his wife goes for any kind of party, and when she returns back home, he sleep on bed, not as usual, but from the side to the side, not allowing her to sleep until he see the beauty. He has the right. Why he pays for all this makeup, and she show her female friends, but she doesn't show him? So anyway, it's on a sad joke. But anyway, whenever there is a preventer for water to reach the skin, the nail or the hair must be removed. Must be removed. Now. The what? Hijab? What about the hijab? Why being is for men and women together? Same thing. Yani, whoever, yani, when you as a man allowed to wipe over the turban, she can wipe over the hijab if she put it on a complete tahar. If she is not in front of a stranger man, she has to remove yani, the hijab a little bit, move it to the yani, top a little bit, and touch the hair a little bit while wiping over the head. But if she is in a place where stranger men can see her, no, she just wipe over it. No.